Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Blue Ridge Church. My name is Cody. I'm one of the pastors here. And I just want to tell you again that we are so glad that you're here with us this morning, whether you're hanging out with us in person or you're online. Thanks for taking time out of your weekend to hang out with us. We are very excited because this morning we are starting a brand new series that we've called Unstuck. And really the premise is that we all get stuck in life. Sometimes we get stuck in our perspective, you know, the way that we approach life or the way that we think about things. Sometimes we get stuck in life in things that aren't good for us. Sometimes we get stuck in life that things that sounded like a good idea at the time, but now they're not such a good idea anymore. And what we find is that the stuck life isn't just something that leaves us, you know, miraculously after we cross the line of faith. Sometimes we can get stuck in our faith journey too. And we had this thought maybe before we came to Jesus, well, maybe if I really take Jesus seriously, well, then I won't get stuck in life. Or maybe if I really take Jesus seriously, I won't feel this way anymore. Or maybe if I, you know, just go to church a bunch, then I won't do this thing anymore. But then we get stuck, or we find ourselves stuck, or we're here this morning and we still find ourselves stuck. And the hard thing is that we know that the stuck life isn't the life that Jesus wants us to experience. Because Jesus said it like this in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The NLT says that they may have a rich and satisfying life. In John 10:10, that's really going to be our theme verse for this series. Because for most of this series, we're actually going to go through the first 10 chapters of John. And we're going to see this kind of moment that we reach in John 10:10. This wasn't just something that Jesus said. It was something that he did. It wasn't just something that he said because he thought it sounded good. He actually meant it. Because in the first 10 chapters of John, and really in all of his ministry, what Jesus did is he extended life to people all around him that found themselves stuck. And it just so happens that those people look a lot like you and me. And the promise here is that if he could extend abundant life to them, a rich and satisfying life to them, a full life to them, well, then it makes sense, doesn't it? That he would want to do the same thing for us. But this morning, we're doing something a little different because we're introducing this series. And so we're just going to ask ourselves a question. And we're not going to be in the book of John per se yet because we're going to take some time to really think about this question. This is the question. How do I make sure that I am physically and geographically positioned in my life to receive the full life that God wants to give me? How do I make sure that I'm positioned in such a way that I'm going to receive this rich and satisfying life that Jesus said he wants to give me? And I'll give you the answer. I think we need to make sure that we are physically and geographically positioned with other people to receive the full life that God wants to give us. We need to make sure that we're positioned in such a way to experience the with others life. Think about it like this. We have this inherent desire to live the with others life. Life in community with other people. I mean, we watched the movie Castaway, the great classic Tom Hanks movie with his brilliant co-star Wilson, right? Great performance. But we watch that movie and we think, man, that's a great movie, but nobody would say, oh man, that's the good life. That's not the good life all alone. No, but instead we watch shows like Friends and Cheers and Seinfeld, and we love to watch those shows because they have this sense of community. They experience the with others life. They have friends. And I'll be honest, nothing makes my skin crawl like The Big Bang Theory, Gilmore Girls, and Grey's Anatomy. But people like to watch those shows for the same reason, right? Because of that community. And it shows that even people that have bad taste in TV have a desire for community. We have a longing for community. And so if this is the culture that we find ourselves in, what we have to admit is that as a culture, we're drawn to this. We have a longing for community. We have a longing for the with others life. And then we do social media and all these other things to try and stay connected. And so we definitely value it. But if we value it and prize it so much, we have some explaining to do. We have some explaining to do because in 2020, 61% of people reported feeling lonely at least one time a week. And you're like, yeah, well, that's 2020. Of course, that makes sense. We were all isolated. But a more recent study showed that 40% of people in the United States felt that they lacked companionship. And 25% of people said that they didn't have anyone in their life that they could discuss a difficult matter with. This should shock us, right? That one in four people don't have someone in their life that they could talk to about a job transition or a big move or a parenting decision or get help dealing with their aging parents. And at the same time, one in four people don't have someone that they can talk to about a difficult matter. We see, not so coincidentally, that the rates of anxiety and depression and other various forms of being stuck in life, those things continue to rise. And these studies, you know, there's studies all over the place, but they don't really show anything new, do they? They don't show anything new because these studies show something that God said from the very beginning. It says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." This brings us to learning number one. God solved us being alone by giving us community. See, God knew this from the very beginning, that it wasn't good for people to be alone. And so what he did is he gave us the gift of community in various forms, right? The first community that God gave us is a family, you know, husband and wife. Now, that's not everybody in the room. I get it. You know, maybe you're single, maybe you're divorced, maybe you're separated, and you feel alone, and you know it's not good to feel that way. But the good thing is that God solved the problem of us being alone, not just by providing us romantic companionship, but he also provides corporate community for us to enjoy as well. The next thing that God did is he began a family. He started to build a family of faith around this guy named Abraham. And Abraham's descendants would eventually become the Israelites, the Jewish people. And that's good for them, but sometimes we forget that that promise extends to us today, that we don't have to be born Jewish to experience community. Community is something that God has gifted us all through Jesus. Listen to the way that Paul talks about it in Romans 11. He said, "And you Gentiles," that's us, right? Those of us who weren't born Jewish. "And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. And so now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree." See, this is really good news. This is really good news, again, because most of us aren't born into a direct as a direct descendant of Abraham. So that makes us Gentiles. But really, it's good news that we have a family to belong to. And we are reminded that Paul is just explaining something here. This is a theological explanation in Romans 11 of something that's already happened. Something that happened long before Paul ever wrote about it. And it was a description of the very first generation of Jesus followers, the early church. So let's look at this. Acts 2, 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, to me, this doesn't sound like the stuck life, does it? It doesn't sound like poor Tom Hanks alone on an island somewhere trying to knock his tooth out in a cave. To me, this sounds like the life that we long for, that we're drawn to. It sounds like the abundant life that Jesus wants to invite us into. And this leads us to learning number two. Following Jesus is an invitation to community. Following him is an invitation to community. If I had to just break down everything I've said so far this morning, I would just say it like this. God is building a family, and he wants you in it. He's building a family, and he wants you in it. For those of you who have made a decision to follow Jesus, you've been saved from your sin? Absolutely, yes. But you've also been brought into community. Romans tells us that now we're part of a body, the body of Christ. In Romans 12:5, Paul says, "So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." So it makes sense, right? We have this, you know, inborn, inherent desire for community because God designed us that way. We're created by God, for God, in the image of God. And the hard thing is that until we understand that, and begin to put it into practice because we understand it, life can be just a series of pursuits that lead us down lonely paths. And unfortunately, more often than not, our lonely paths are the paths that get us stuck and keep us stuck. But instead, God reminds us that we're created in God's image, that the Bible talks about God himself in community. That this is God we're talking about, right? Creator of the universe. The Bible talks about him like in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we could see this most clearly when Jesus, the Son of God, goes to be baptized. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And then God the Father spoke out loud. So we get three distinct persons in this one scene. Listen to the way that Matthew describes it. It says, "After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.'" I love this because it's a reminder that God is not lonely, because God is not alone. And then what God does next is he created humans and he created us in his image. And so as we're created in his image, we have this desire for community that is something that we can never escape. That you were made on purpose for a purpose. And part of that purpose is community, the with others life. You know, the lie that we believe and the lie that culture feeds us is this message of just independence and freedom and autonomy and individualism. You know, be your own person. And I get it, right? People let us down. It takes a lot of time and energy to develop relationships with people. And people let us down and people hurt us and all these things. Again, I get it. Sometimes it feels easier to not live the with others life. But we've got to be honest, right? Even Jesus, when he lived on earth, he enjoyed the company and the friendship of other people. To deny your need, well, I just don't need that, is to deny the way that we're designed. Everything that God has done since the very beginning is to make us his friends, to bring us into his family. Listen, we long for this place to be a place where you can connect with others who are seeking after God, regardless of where you are on the faith journey. Maybe you're still investigating God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready for a relationship with Jesus and all that stuff. I want to tell you, you can belong here before you believe. That's okay. Eventually, you're going to have to make your own conclusion about Jesus, but you can still belong here regardless of your point in the process. You can join a group without being a partner. You can join a group without knowing exactly what you believe. And at the same time, there is an advantage in friendship for those who invited Jesus into their life. And that is that we share a common experience. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4:3. He says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, notice it says to maintain the unity of the Spirit and not attain. Jesus has already given us unity. It's just our job to make sure that we maintain it. Okay, so the next thing is okay, so what happens, right, when we lean into this way of life that God has designed us to live? What happens when we start to lean into the with others life? And that brings us to learning number three. We each grow in our faith when we grow closer together. We grow in our faith when we grow closer together. Growing spiritually always happens in the context of community. That yes, there is a component to following Jesus that is a personal pursuit, but there's absolutely a component to following Jesus that's a communal pursuit as well. Galatians 6:2 says it like this, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. You know, I see this all the time. Unfortunately, I see this all the time. People go through a difficult season in their life. People struggle in their faith. People make a sinful decision or get into a bad habit. And rather than lean into the relationships that they have in their life, what they do is they withdraw. And it's the worst thing that we could possibly do. But it makes sense why people do it, doesn't it? I get it. Because church has been like this in the past or at times, or maybe that's part of your story, that church in the past has been an unsafe place to fail, where you have to feel like you have to be perfect to come or to be part of it. Or worse, something was said to someone and they just disappear. That was never what church was supposed to be. Maybe, again, that's part of your story. You felt bumped out of church because you felt like you didn't measure up. Or worse, somebody even told you that you didn't measure up. I'm sorry. That was never what church was meant to be like, because that's not the message of Jesus. Instead, if you're struggling with your faith, if you're dealing with a sin struggle, if you're wandering in life looking for a direction, your faith will only grow in the context of relationships. That's why we need to develop friendships in life, community in life, before the storms of life hit, because they're going to hit, right? So we need to make sure that it's not too late. Ephesians 4:16, Paul says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, and so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Paul says in Romans kind of the same idea. Romans 1:12, both you and I will be helped at once, you by my faith and I by yours. Paul is setting up the book of Romans. This is early on in the book of Romans, but basically what he's saying is, I want to tell you my story, and I want to tell you how all this information helped me in my faith journey. And as I share it with you, I think it's going to help you too. And then he says, well, then we're going to get together. And as we get together, we're going to share stories again. And then we're going to grow closer together, but we're also going to grow closer to God at the same time. He reminds us, friendships help our faith grow because we receive support in life when we need it. And I'll tell you, life change stories happen all the time in a room like this when you're in a row like you are now. But I'll tell you this too, life change happens best in circles and not rows. It's just true. As we live life together and invite people in, and they can help us in our faith journey. Romans 15:2 says, each one of us needs to look after the good of those around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Galatians 6:10 says it this way, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to the family of faith. See, God knows that it's not good for us to be alone. And really, deep down, we know that it's not good for us to be alone either. And so God did something for us. He extended an invitation to participate in the life that he wanted us to live, the with others life, life in community. And so to experience the unstuck life, really to get the most out of this series, we need to remember that this is the life that God wants us to experience. And to experience the unstuck life, the rich and satisfying life that he wants to give us, we need to make sure that we're geographically and physically positioned in life with other people who are pursuing Jesus, so that we can receive all that he wants to give us. And so what I want to do for just the next few minutes is I just want to give you some super practical next steps that you can use to position yourself to be in the best possible place to get unstuck. And if you're thinking, well, I'm not stuck now, that's great, I'm glad. But get prepared, right? Because there may come a time. You want to stay unstuck, right? Okay, so four practical next steps to live the with others life. Number one, start connecting during weekend services. Just start connecting during weekend services. And listen, it's okay to start small. You don't have to do absolutely everything all at once, right? And so if you come once a month here, that's awesome. I'm glad you do that. Come twice a month and just see what changes, right? Just see what changes. Just give it a shot. Maybe you attend all the time. Again, I'm glad. But say hey to somebody on a Sunday morning. Go introduce yourself. Come a few minutes early. Stay a few minutes late. Talk to that person who's pouring your coffee. Strike up a conversation with that person holding the door. Start small, but just do something, right? Do something. Maybe you watch online, and that's awesome. You know, you don't live here, and so you can't do those things. Well, just comment. I love to see those comments and see where you're watching from. Take a next step just to get more connected during the weekend services, regardless of your starting point. Number two, decide to explore the uncomfortable. Decide to explore the uncomfortable. You know, this is one of the great principles in life, that just on the other side of uncomfortable are some of life's greatest moments. Think about how scared you were before you rode that roller coaster, or before you asked that girl out, or before you finally popped the question, or how you felt in that job interview. Well, if you just have enough to just kind of push through those uncomfortable moments, some of the greatest moments in life are just on the other side of uncomfortable. Uncomfortable doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. You know, maybe joining a group feels scary or uncomfortable. Maybe joining a serving team feels uncomfortable, but don't let that stop you. You know from other areas in your life that this is true, that if you just push past that point of uncomfortable, that's where some of the greatest moments in life are. This brings us to next step three. Join a group. Join a group. I get it. This place feels huge. Chelsea and I haven't been here too terribly long, almost 2 years. And I remember this place feels huge. But the truth is that it starts to feel small when you join a group. And then you see those people throughout the week, but then you see them on Sunday mornings too. And it gives you somebody to talk to. It gives you a reason to come to church. Oh, I know they're coming to church and they go to that service, so I'm gonna join them. And I gotta be honest, I'm kind of showing my hand here, but I'm the group's pastor here, so I'm gonna talk about this a lot. But it's a great time to get plugged in. It's a great time to get plugged in because there are all kinds of groups. Almost every day of the week, there's a group. And when you sign up for a group this winter season, you're not signing up forever. There's no blood oath that you have to sign. There's no Kool-Aid that's going to be passed around. If there is, let me know. I'll come visit the group, okay? Make sure they're doing a good job. But if you start this week when groups start, most of those groups are going to wrap up in April, before life gets crazy in May with graduations and all these things that happen in May. And I know some of you may be thinking, well, I'm not going to know anybody. Well, that's perfect, because other people won't know each other either, because so many of the groups are new this semester. And that's how they work. You know, winter, and then there's a new set in the summer, and then there's a new set in the fall. We've really tried to make sure that we've been thoughtful in strategically designing groups with you in mind. People who have never participated in a group before. So there are study groups, right, that get together and they talk about Sunday's talk. There are study groups that do a book together, a book of the Bible. There are groups that serve here in the New River Valley, groups like the Agape Center NRV. There's a group called Hearts and Hammers that are just kind of these handy guys that go out and will help people who need help cleaning up or building a wheelchair ramp or whatever they might need. There are activity groups, groups that are designed, not to study or to serve, but just kind of to get to know one another. There's a group that meets over the shared interest of cars. There's a group that meets every other Thursday to just go out and hang out and enjoy a meal together at a local restaurant. There's all kinds of groups to try out. And then four, practical next step in living the with others life is to stay committed. Listen, I wouldn't be being honest with you if I didn't tell you that sometimes community is tough. Right? Community can be tough. People can hurt our feelings from time to time. It can be hard to find the time to invest. It can feel uncomfortable to try something new. It can take longer than we hoped it would to develop meaningful relationships. I get it. But it's a two-step process, right? Sign up for a group and then show up for a group. It feels easy sometimes to sign up for a group, but then, you know, the wheels of life just happen and then it's hard to show up. But really show up. Stay committed. Make that investment. You know, there's a saying in AA that we say all the time, and I think that it works here too, but it's don't quit until the miracle happens. Don't quit until the miracle happens. And in other words, don't stop doing something that God has asked you to do before God has a chance to show up and show you something that you've never seen before. Because the truth is that every single time we take a step towards God, God takes a step towards us too. And so in this series, as we're talking about how to get unstuck in life, how to stay unstuck in life, I just want to invite you this morning to geographically and physically position yourselves in the best possible way to get unstuck, to stay unstuck, and the way that we experience the rich and satisfying life that Jesus wants to give us is in community with other people. Hebrews 10 says it like this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let's pray together. Jesus, thanks. Thanks for how you love us. Thank you that you have designed us for community. Thank you that you have given us a community through church, through groups, through serving teams, that you have given us a place to belong, really regardless of where we are on the faith journey, that you have given us a unity here, a mission here to help people find and follow Jesus, and that you've given each of us a part to play in that, that we have a personal responsibility to lean in to where it looks like to following you, but we also have a communal responsibility to help other people find and follow you. What a gift it is to be part of your family. Would you help us just to take the next step that you have for us? Whatever that looks like, if it's just to come more regularly, would you help us to do that? Not out of guilt or shame, but to just attend more because we know that there's more that you want to give us. More life that you want us to experience. For those of us who have been hurt by church in the past, by church people in the past, would you just help us to forgive? To forgive because it's better for our heart so we can move on and experience, again, this rich and satisfying life that you want to give us. For those of us who are ready to take that step into community, would you help us, would you guide us even, as we're trying to pick a group for this season? Would you guide us to the one that you want us to be a part of? And would you help us to really make a commitment to stay plugged in, even when times are hard, even when the storms of life get us and they knock us off course? Would you help us to just stay on task? Again, we're thankful for how you love us. We thank you for the gift of community that you have given us here at Blue Ridge Church. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, I want to tell you again, we're so glad that you're here. If you need prayer for something going on in your life, there's a prayer team available here at the front. After service dismissed, you're welcome to come up here and get some prayer for whatever's going on in your life. If you've come prepared to give today, there's some black boxes at the back of the room and then in the lobby, and of course you can give online. But again, we thank you for your generosity. We could not do it without you. And, you know, I'm not gonna tell you any more about groups, but if I was gonna tell you some more about groups, I would tell you that they are starting this week. There are a bunch of them. If you don't know how to find those, stop by, ask somebody at the hub. There's a group out here in the lobby that's a men's group, and they have a tire out there for some reason, so you should go ask them about it. But again, thanks for being here. again, and we hope to see you next week. See y'all.